The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Now, if Christy Moore was still writing songs about Joxer, what would it be called? John Duggan from Off the Ball. A Lament for Geneva.
It's Despair in Dublin this morning, Pat, to be honest. Like, the reason why I'm despairing about the Republic of Ireland soccer team is because the reason I work in sports, journalism and broadcasting and that is because I love the unpredictability of sport. I think at its greatest, it's better than any Hollywood movie, and it happens when you witness it 10, 15 times a year. I was just thinking back at the great days I've witnessed this year. Dublin win the 5 in a row. That wasn't certain because Kerry had them in the first game. Shane Lowry winning the Open on the island of Ireland. That was very uncertain. Tottenham, I'm a fan, winning in the semi-final of the Champions League with the last kick of the game to qualify for the final, even the night before Liverpool beating Barcelona. And there is a chance that Ireland will beat New Zealand in the rugby on Saturday. But there's no could or there's no chance with this Irish soccer team that they're going to get beyond a certain level of just, apart from grit, hard work, spirit, character, all these Irish traits that we'd expect and we saw at times last night. But from a quality point of view, there's a limit. And even if we qualify for the Euros, and it's almost harder not to qualify than it is to qualify, we'll still get beaten in Dublin. And that's my problem when I have the thing. Going back over a decade now, my hope of the could is gone.
You wonder what's the reason, because we saw the lads in Iceland last night. Okay, they lost. But, I mean, Iceland is a tiny country and they have produced a quality team in spite of their population. So we can blame Gaelic football and hurling and rugby and say, you know, soccer doesn't have the population. It does. I mean, soccer is played in every parish in the country.
Michael O'Neill has done a very good job in Northern Ireland. You could argue that we got better players than Northern Irish players. We've almost had, though, a kind of a litany of managers that are project managers. Trapattoni, project manager, get us to a tournament. Martin O'Neill, project manager, give us some great days. And he did, to be fair. We beat the world champions here. We went to the last 16 of the Euros. Mick McCarthy, project manager, get us to a tournament. Then Stephen Kenny comes in. And then eventually in a year's time, we might start seeing some green shoots and playing football the right way. But we're waiting a long time now. I think the globalisation of the Premier League is a factor. I don't know whether we could have had a link up with the Dutch or whatever. You know, where they speak English, to have like maybe players in the Dutch league, and that might be a bit of a harebrained idea. But unfortunately, given the financial constraints on the FAI in the last 10 years with the stadium, we haven't been able to build a League of Ireland here. Also, I think as I pointed out to you before, we don't know, we're beginning to know the Danny Mandrews and the Jack Burns, but we haven't really been able to connect League of Ireland players with communities.
I mean, everybody knows the leading rugby players, even if they don't follow rugby. They are personalities, they're identifiable, their pictures are on posters advertising X, Y, and Z, you know?
Like, I was watching the Georgia game last Saturday, which was, I'm a soccer fan more than a rugby fan, and I found the small game more entertaining. And every ad break during the George game was a rugby ad, Johnny Sexton or this or that. Everybody who knows who Jack McCaffrey is, everybody knows who Seamus Callanan is, even if though he's wearing a helmet in Tipperary. That is one thing that we need to get better at. I'm just so frustrated that, like, we got players like Glenn Whelan, who's 35 years of age, giving us all, like Shane Duffy. We have a good defence, but just technically, we're not able to live with. Switzerland are a good team, but Switzerland were beaten by Sweden in the World Cup last year. They're not Brazil. And now we're back to a situation where it's this blood and guts thunder thing against Denmark next month to qualify.
But last night, John, there was a period of 20 minutes. I was kind of keeping half an eye on my work and half an eye on the game. But then I forgot about my work and I sat there watching them. And okay, they were one down, but they gave it a lash for about 20 minutes in the second half. They passed the ball.
They did.
It actually reached their feet. They did something with it. I felt sorry for Aaron Connolly because he hadn't been getting the kind of service.
Yeah, he was running around himself into the ground. Yeah. And also, this, I think it's unfair to put everything on Aaron Connolly's shoulders, as it was with Andy Reid or Wes Houlihan. there's a kind of a shiny new object. Oh, he's a saver of Irish football. That's why we were so upset about the Declan Rice going or Jack Grealish going, because we knew and we know that these players are hard to come by from a quality. And like the very simple thing about football is pass the ball and control the ball and don't give the ball to the opposition. That's what Johnny Giles' whole raison d'etre was built on. It's very simple. And I know Jack had his kind of methods that worked in the late 80s, early 90s, but football now at the elite level is about technical skill with the ball. And unfortunately, we're lacking in that compared to other countries.
And that can lead to frustration and two yellow cards last night.
Yeah, and Seamus Coleman was frustrated, and it's unlike him to be frustrated.
But he kept on having a go. Yeah. What was your man's name? Embele, wasn't it? Brilliant footballer.
Embele, yeah.
Brilliant footballer.
Embolo.
He kept on having a go at him, and he was going to be done every time.
It's going to take a long time, and I'm hoping the underage leagues, and I'm hoping the new FAI structure, and I'm hoping this mist will clear. But I don't know if Stephen Kenny is the saviour. He will play good football, but it's going to take a while for us to, like, you're hoping that Troy Parrott or Michael Obafemi or Aaron Connolly or some of these guys or Jason Malumbi are going to come through and do something.
Yeah. But your message really is you've got to develop them through the domestic league. They will have a loyalty to Ireland, which the journeymen who have grandfathers from Ireland won't necessarily have. I mean, you've got the Kevin Kilbance, who's fantastic and who's, you know, as Irish as they come besides his accent. But there are others who, you know, wouldn't get a look in the English team and are happy to play for Ireland because it gives them an international thing. But it's viscerally perhaps not there. So we're better off with the domestic.
Well, I don't think we've had any other choice because I think we had six Premier League players on the pitch last night of the 11, but they're not, none of them are playing for, like, Seamus Coleman plays for Everton. But Everton are, you know,
in big trouble at the moment.
But they're a middle to upper club. They're like upper middle class. They're not rich. We had Damien Duff, Robbie Keane, you know, Shea Given, John O'Shea, Richard Dunham, rolling them off the tongue here. Like in the Liverpool 80s, that's because the Premier League is just much harder. It's a global league now. They're watching in China, they're watching in the United States. It's a global league. It's harder to break into. And you get agents going, well, I've got a world to pick from now rather than the Republic of Ireland and Scotland to pick from.
What about at grassroots, John? I don't know whether you followed them, but I remember someone was telling me in Portugal that the lads, even when they're warming up, they have a ball at their feet. They jog along at ball, so it generates ball control from the earliest age. I mean, is that happening in the Irish?
Well, I think it's beginning to happen at underage with under 13, 15, 17 leagues, but I think the culture in Ireland has always been about winning and has been a big schoolboy, you know, element to that, and shipping players then off at a certain age. I think Irish sport at any level underage, whether it's rugby, soccer, GA, should not be about winning. It should be about the technical skills of the game. That's been the Dutch model, the Belgian model. And Belgium in the early 2000s just started from scratch. Germany had to do it. I think it can be done, but it has to be done with complete change in culture away from winning.
There's something that probably shouldn't be brought up, but I'll bring it up because I think it's a factor, and that's class in sport. I mean, if you look at Leinster rugby, it's a lot of very high rollers supporting Leinster rugby. Could you say the same for any of the League of Ireland clubs? You know, people who've done well in life, who are business people, who've got a history with their old school playing rugby and so on, and they put money back into the game, they support the game. The people who come through the colleges and so on are well spoken. The advertisers queue up to line them up. Would you have the same with soccer? I'm not sure that hinterland is there to bring to the party.
Possibly not, but we have the numbers. I mean, if you just look at any top 10 list of end of year for television programs that are watched, like if we go to the Euros, we're going to have more people watching than a rugby or an All-Ireland final. So I don't know why that question can't be teased out, because there's a huge amount of money in football, especially across the water. So I can't understand that can be teased out, which surely with the help of, like, Niall Quinn, for example, has got a huge amount of interest in bringing ideas to the game. Why not let him be heard and see if we can build a network with old pros and communities to get that better.
John Duggan, thank you very much.